Good morning. It's a blessing to be with you this Sunday morning and share this Lord's Day. Let's begin by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can come to you in prayer at any time. Father, you tell us through your word that you're attentive to our prayers, and we thank you, Father, for not just being attentive, but responding to our pleas and our cries to you, our requests and our petitions. Father, we thank you this day for all the blessings of this life, the sunshine and the rain and everything in this world that you've created that's so beautiful as a gift for us, Father, to enjoy. We thank you, Father, for all those things. We thank you for the spiritual blessings in Christ, Father. We thank you for the peace that passes all understanding you provide for us, the hope of spending eternity with you, freedom and forgiveness of sin. Father, we thank you for fellowship with you and fellowship with one another in the church. Thank you for your word, Father, and the light it is to our path and a lamp unto our feet. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Lord's Day where we can come together to worship you in song and look at another portion of your word as we're about to do. Father, help us to gain insights into your will for our lives. Help us, Father, to yield to your will as we go throughout our lives, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning again. This morning's lesson is focused on peace that surpasses all understanding. The fact is that peace in this world is very difficult to find for many people, if not all. Unfortunately, there are wars and conflicts taking place right now. Not just around the world, but right here in our own nation. We have many peace officers who work hard, striving to keep the peace. We as individuals, perhaps you can relate, try to search long and hard to find a place of peace. We go on vacation many times to find some peace away from our work and even perhaps away from the neighborhood that we're familiar with. So we'll go near the ocean or perhaps next to a stream and try to find some peace in that way. The fact is that peace is an anchor in the storms of life. And as I mentioned so many times, it's difficult to find. However, it's part of the good news of the gospel is finding a peace with God and experiencing a peace with God through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Our God is a God of peace. There's no question and without a doubt. Consider Paul's closing words in his letters to the Christians in Rome. Romans 15 and verse 33. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Remember a great promise to the Philippian Christians, as well as for us to take hold of today. Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi in Philippians 4 and verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now notice, this is a conditional promise that we can still take hold of today if we act on the conditions. When we put into practice in our everyday lives the things we learn from Paul's teaching, and even the example we see in Paul, we have this great promise to cling to hold on to, that the God of peace will be with us, that the God of peace will be for us in our lives. Our God of peace, as he's referred to, works to sanctify us. That is, he works to clean us up and to set us aside for his holy purpose, for his good works. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, we read, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there were some in the time the Bible was written, roughly 2,000 years ago, just as there are some today who believe and teach that peace with God is not really connected with what you do in your physical body. And that's simply not true. as we just read Paul's writing, the God of peace, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This sanctification that Paul mentions can only be found in the Christian faith. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and we trust in his blood to continually cleanse us of all sin and unrighteousness. We know that our God is a God of peace. He's not a God of confusion, but rather a God of peace. We read in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 33. Jesus Christ is referred to as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah foretold his coming, referring to Christ as the Prince of Peace, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and finally he mentions Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace is able to bring peace at all times and in every way. It may not seem like it at times when we're going through difficult times, especially as our nation is going through right now, or if you're going through difficult and turbulent waters even in your own life. But in fact, that peace is available for us if we'll just take hold of God's promise. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16 reads, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." Certainly that desire of Paul can be experienced in our own lives. But at all times and in all circumstances, I know I've had my doubts at times in certain circumstances I find myself in. But certainly Jesus does offer peace that this world simply cannot give. A peace that we can't find anywhere else during those difficult times in our own lives, or when everything seems to be in chaos around us. Jesus himself said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We find those words of Jesus himself in John chapter 14 in verse 27. He's reminding us that the peace he offers we could never find in this world. The Prince of Peace says that he did not come to bring peace, oddly enough, in John 16 and verse 33. As disciples of Christ, we're promised to experience conflict and tribulation in this world. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So in Christ, we can find peace. We can find peace with God even in the midst of tribulation in this world, regardless of what that tribulation may be. And there's been a lot of tribulation in this world since Christ's time, 2,000 years ago. But the promise still holds true. Jesus did not come to bring peace on earth. We find in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." These aren't words of Jesus that we often look at or sometimes find hard to accept. And yet that's what Jesus said. I do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. Remember the verse we had just looked at in the teaching of Jesus. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And in fact, we may find peace with God. There is no promise for peace in this world. It's a fact of life, actually, that we must at some point come to accept and strive to understand. There are some real life circumstances and situations that will come up when we have to decide to remain a true and faithful disciple of Christ. There'll be very real conflict and tribulation. In this world, there's going to be conflict for young people. When you choose to follow the truth of God's word rather than maybe a religion that was passed on to you down through the family and through the generations, or choose not to listen to the music your friends are listening to or that Christ himself wouldn't listen to, choose not to watch certain movies or videos or go certain places your friends are going that you know Christ wouldn't go, it's going to bring about a conflict with your friends. For adults as well, we're susceptible to peer pressure, just as young people are. We're going to have tribulation and conflict in this world when we decide to follow Christ and be his disciple, his follower, his learner. I don't know about you, but I'm going to meet with the saints and with Christians anytime and anywhere I can and communicate and be encouraged by other Christians because I need it. I can't survive as a Christian in this world without that encouragement from other Christians. So observing Sunday as the Lord's Day to worship him and learn how better to live and to please him goes against the grain of the world. They think we're kind of foolish as Christians to take your nice Sunday morning and go to church rather than be in the great outdoors, going for a walk or doing whatever. When we decide, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, we're going to experience conflict in this world. Our decision to find peace with God through the sacrifice of the Prince of Peace will even bring division sometimes, strife, some hardship and conflict with those we love most, our physical family. Perhaps you've experienced this already, but Jesus says it's true and we should expect it. Jesus said, "For I have not come to set man against, or I have come to set man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." It may seem on the surface a terrible thing for Jesus to say, or another unexpected teaching from Jesus, and yet Jesus spoke it, therefore it's true. Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. And we find this true in our own lives at times, tragically. We decide to follow Christ and make him our first love, and it brings up conflict even within our own families. We're challenged to put our peace with God first before even peace with our families at times. We're called to love God more than anyone else or anything else in this world. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 37, "Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So certainly God wants us to love as he loved, especially within our own families, our own mother and father, our own children, as he mentions here. And yet Christ is worthy of being our first love in our life, having that first priority in our lives as far as who we're going to please. Peter and the apostles were forced to choose. In Acts chapter 5, we find Peter and the apostles were ordered not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And their reply? "We must obey God rather than men." Acts 5, verse 29. Thank God we can find peace with him through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Thank God that in this world of tribulation and conflict, in this world of wars and rumors of wars, true peace, everlasting peace, peace that surpasses all understanding, can be found in Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 7, we read, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." If you look back closely to this verse, we find that peace serves a purpose really even beyond providing peace of mind with God. We find that Paul saying here, this peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it acts to and works to guard us and protect us, protect our very hearts and minds in this world of trial and tribulation. This peace we find in Christianity and through faith in Christ goes beyond the wisdom and understanding of this world. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 and starting in verse 20, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." Dropping down to verse 23, Paul says, "We preach Christ and Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But yet peace with God is found through that same gospel and through Christ's crucifixion on our behalf. Peace with God through the blood of Christ is foolishness to the world as a whole, and yet for us it's the very wisdom of God and blessing of God. Christians, by the grace of God, now have peace with God through our faith in Christ and what he accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection after those 3 days in the tomb. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand as Christians. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice because through faith we found peace with God. We rejoice because through Jesus Christ and our faith in him, we've experienced this grace in which we now stand, regardless of what's going on in the world around us. We have peace with God, even though each and every one of us were hostile toward God and even referred to as enemies of God at one point in our lives." In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, we read, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him," that is to dwell in Christ, "and through him," through Christ, "to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Through him, again referring to Christ, "and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." So even as we were enemies of God and hostile toward God, engaged in evil deeds, God was still working his goodwill through Christ. And we find here that it's the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of him to dwell in Christ and to provide this forgiveness for us and making available to us the possibility and the potential to experience holiness and to live a blameless life in this world, above and beyond reproach, as Paul puts it. This ongoing peace is another conditional promise. We read in Colossians 3 and verse 23, as you drop down in that passage, "If you continue in the faith, firm and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, then you will experience the ongoing peace that's available in Christ." So our challenge for today is to continue in the faith, firm and steadfast, even as we leave our time together in our time of encouragement and our time in God's Word. We pray that God will be with us throughout the coming week and provide on an ongoing basis that peace with him, although we may be experiencing conflict in this world. At this time, we're going to take time out to partake of the Lord's Supper together. And in doing so, I'd like you to turn over, if you can, to Isaiah chapter 53. This scripture will help us focus our minds on the purpose of partaking of the fruit of the vine and the bread. We read here, starting in verse 1, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." This short section of Scripture reminds us that it's because of our sin that Jesus was willing to go to the cross. We're also reminded that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. In other words, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why we need that great sacrifice of Christ and his precious blood that was shed on our behalf to provide that cleansing of sin and freedom from sin. So at this time, as we partake of the bread, we remember and think back and appreciate that great sacrifice of Christ, the unblemished Lamb, on our behalf. So at this time, we'll have a prayer for the bread, which represents Christ's body that was given on our behalf. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins it provides, and the freedom from sin, Father, and the hope of spending eternity with you. We pray at this time we can partake in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we'll have a brief prayer for the fruit of the vine that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf, the blood of that unblemished Lamb that was shed for us, the sheep who have gone astray. Please bow with me in prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer again, thanking you for that precious and valuable blood of Christ that was shed on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of sin it provides and the ongoing cleansing of sin as we strive to walk in the light as you are in the light. We pray at this time we could partake in a way that's pleasing and acceptable in your sight as we focus on his great sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for a closing prayer. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you so much for all the blessings of this life, especially for the spiritual blessings that are only found in Christ. We pray that you might be with us each and every day of this coming week and throughout our lives as we strive to live up to being the light of this world and the salt of the earth that you would have us to be. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.